Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Now, I want you to take a listen to this for the next 15, 16 seconds.
Cancer can change your body in a lot of ways, and it can change your thinking in a lot of ways. But it was never going to change who I am. And this is who I am.
Well, that was the voice of Laura Brennan, the 26-year-old campaigner who died from cervical cancer in March of this year. Her story is told in a documentary that's on RT1 tonight. And joining me now is the producer of that documentary, Sinead Kennedy. Sinead, welcome to the programme. Most people will know you from winning Streak, of course. How did you get involved in making a documentary about Laura?
Dave, I suppose I've been doing docs on and off for the last few years. So yeah, most people don't associate me with them. I did one on tattoos that I was in, but anything else I've worked on, it's either behind the scenes or completely, you would have no connection to me whatsoever. So working with Laura for me wasn't unusual, you know, having done stuff in the past, but I suppose for some people it's hard to make the connection that I do work in documentaries the odd time, you know. So with Laura, it all came about by me seeing her on the news. She put herself forward. She, you know, went to the HSE after she got her second diagnosis, yeah, her terminal diagnosis. And she decided to call them up and just say, what can I do? How can I get information and word out there about the HPV vaccine? And she became an advocate for them. So, you know, she was on the news. I saw her. I was blown away by her. And I think it was the same week she ended up on the Late Late Show. And a few months later, I was still thinking about her. And I was like, I wonder, is anybody making a documentary with this girl? She's phenomenal. So thinking about her all those months later, I was like, I have to touch base with her.
So okay, so you first became aware of her story, like by looking at it on television. I was seeing something on television, on the news first, and then the Late Late obviously put it into the huge arena. How advanced was her illness, though, when you sat down with her and talked about making the documentary?
So when I first started talking to her, she's about 3 months maybe into her second diagnosis, so into her terminal diagnosis. And at the time, she had been given 2 to 5 years. That's what they had, you know, estimated her time was. So it was probably the first few months into that we got talking. In typical Laura style, she was very hard to pin down. She was always going left, right and centre. So it took us actually a good few weeks to be able to sit down and have a chat and have a talk about, you know, the potential of working with each other on this, you know. So yeah, she was hard to pin down.
By the time you met her, was she a massive advocate, if that's the right word, for the HPV vaccine?
Absolutely, she would have been. She, from the moment she kind of hit the news, she ended up instantly becoming a very recognisable face for the HSE and for the HPV vaccine. So she would have been quite well known at that stage, you know. So I was quite surprised that nobody else had approached her to work with her, because she blew me away. And that was just from watching, you know, 5-10 minutes with her in the Late Late Show. And I was like, how is nobody already, you know, working with this girl? She's just an incredible, incredible person.
And determined when you met her, I presume, that whatever happened to her was not going to happen to somebody else. And that was really what it was all about. I mean,
absolutely,
like, very difficult subjects must have been spoken about. You know, what happens if she seriously deteriorated and all that? Did you, like, were you able to take each other into each other's confidence?
I think you have to be able to in those kind of situations. You're never going to get the kind of footage we got and the access we got without having those difficult conversations, you know. So it was very straight up from the get-go. We clicked instantly. I was absolutely mad about her. We became very good friends. And yeah, Laura was very straight up from the get-go. This is what she wanted. This is what she, you know, expected. This is how this was going to go. She was very much in control of how this was all going to work. And myself and Kenny and Sally, who worked on making the documentary, the four of us worked together very much as a team to make sure that her wishes were very much, you know, visible throughout the entire documentary. Because initially, when we started talking to Laura, this was going to be perhaps, you know, a 4-part series. It wasn't going to be a one-off, you know. So the idea being that Laura would have oversight, obviously, in the first few episodes and be happy with how they were going along, and then we always knew it was going to come to a point where she wasn't going to be there for the last episode. And you know, she wanted her family, of course, to have oversight over that one and make sure that whatever we were putting out there would be something she'd be happy with.
Okay, well, in terms of putting it out there and the message, bluntly, would she be alive if she had been vaccinated?
Well, I assume so, yes. You know, HPV cancers, I think they cause about 5% of all cancers, and this vaccine is safe, it's proven, and had she had it, well then absolutely.
Well then she poured herself into a campaign, we can put it that way, and every time she told her story, would it be fair to say she saved lives?
I'm undoubtedly, Dave, undoubtedly. I mean, she saved thousands and thousands of lives since the moment she got involved in the HSE campaign. They have said that it's just been absolutely incredible for them. The turnaround, it was at 51%, the uptake rates for the vaccine when Laura, you know, initially got involved. She got a report herself in March that had gone up to 70%.
Yeah.
The vaccines are back in schools at the moment. They're available for boys now for the first time ever, which is, you know, a shame she didn't get to see it. But she was aware that that was, you know, coming down the tracks. And let's just see what the next uptake rates look like. And I'd say Laura is very much the reason for any increase in the uptake.
Yeah, and she fronted the TV ad campaign, of course, as
absolutely,
well. But
yeah.
One of the great phrases was like, you know, I was born with a voice, so I'm going to use the voice.
And that's absolutely what she did.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, if I have to scream and shout about this till the day I die, that's what I'll do. And that's exactly what she did, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like the documentary itself, it first appeared on the RT player and people were really kind of taken aback by how much access that Laura gave you. We see her in the hospital having difficult conversations with her parents, getting very upset at times. Very difficult to film, was it? I mean, like, did you have to be making sure you were good friends with her almost?
I mean, that came naturally as part of it. We just ended up becoming quite good friends out of it, which is, you know, a blessing for me. It was so, you know, incredible to be able to work with her and to have known her at all. When you see, you know, after her passing, the outpouring was humongous. So she really did affect so many people. So it was an absolute privilege to work with her and to know her. But yeah, it was difficult. There's no point in, you know, beating around the bush. It was a difficult situation to be in. There were difficult circumstances to film in. It was difficult for us, the team. It was difficult for her family. It was difficult for Laura as well. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I use the phrase pouring herself into this campaign. Part of that pouring oneself into the campaign is basically wanting everything filmed, including her death. Why do you feel that she wanted to do this?
Because Laura really wanted everybody to see her in that position. And the way she worded it was, if seeing me in this position makes other people not be in her position, then that's what she was willing to do. And she knew the impact those images would have. She just wanted no other family in the country to go through the pain that her family and her friends are and, you know, have gone through. So she was very much putting herself out there in a completely vulnerable position. I mean, it was her wishes, myself, the rest of the team, her family, everybody was aware of what she wanted and everybody fulfilled those wishes.
And the goal is simply to eradicate cervical cancer for good.
Absolutely, and HPV causes a number of other cancers as well. So the vaccine can help to eradicate all of those. And that's what Laura's message was about. She was like, get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. And that's what she was screaming and shouting about till the very end.
Okay, so by the way, it's to do with vaccinating people, men and women, up to about the age of 45 or thereabouts. That's already big time in the US. It's only a matter of, like, I mean, this is the way it has to be now, is that it? And she has opened millions of doors.
Absolutely, she has. And they've said, the impact she's had, they haven't seen anywhere else in the world, because it's not just a medical person talking to you. This is Laura, a person, a sister, a daughter, a friend, telling you her story very openly, very honestly. She was just absolutely incredible, very courageous in everything she did, and it will have saved, and it already has saved thousands of lives already.
Okay, well, Laura spent the last months of her life, like, tirelessly, you know, championing the life-saving HPV vaccine, as we say. Do you ever think in some ways that, hold on a minute, you know, like, that's an awful lot of work there. Do you ever think of slowing down there, Laura?
I mean, you could say that to her, but she was so headstrong, you'd never tell her what to do. You know, there was times where we'd be filming for, you know, quite substantial periods and she mightn't have been well, or, you know, we were in hospital, or it might just be a normal day at home. And she, you could tell that she was exhausted, and you're like, do you know what, we're going to stop now. And she's like, nope, I want to carry on. She was just very headstrong, very determined, and she really, really wanted to do this and get the message out there. So yeah, you could think all you like she's wrecked or whatever, or her mom could tell her, Laura, you know, you need to hold back a little bit. But Laura knew her own mind and did her own thing, and that was it. She was
and
the boss. That was
in
it.
Doing all that, and once again, just throwing herself into the campaign, the 60,000 info packs have been delivered to schools all over Ireland, which would not have happened at this time last year in September of 2018.
I think what they do is they do March and September every year, they'd been rolling out the vaccine in schools anyway. But I think the what Laura has done has raised so much awareness. There was so much misinformation out there. People were very anxious about the vaccine, and perhaps some still are, but at least now they're kind of going to the places, getting the facts, and hopefully getting the vaccine as well. And that's all she wanted, you know, was to let all the misinformation that people, if you think that, that's fine, but just go to a reputable source, have a look, see what, you know, what it says, and then maybe think about it so that you don't end up in my position. You
and
know?
Is there, like, was there a moment, like Ryan on the Late Late Show, did that just elevate it completely?
I think it did. I absolutely think it did. For me, seeing her in the news first, but then seeing her in the Late Late, it was her attitude, her spirit. Like, I'm not quoting verbatim now, but I remember her saying something like, Ryan asking her if she was, you know, angry about having cancer or, you know, this diagnosis. And she said something like, sure, I could be hit by a bus tomorrow. You know, it's grand. Aren't I still here? And instantly that grabbed me because her attitude was always so. And she'd hate that she hated being called positive, but she was. She was so incredibly positive about stuff. And she just had such, you know, a brave outlook on everything. And she was just, she was so altruistic. She did everything for everybody else.
Yeah,
you know?
I noticed when they say the HPV vaccine, everybody always puts that little thing beforehand, which is the right way to do it. The life-saving HPV vaccine. That's the way to look at it. She it was is. An absolute force of nature, obviously, Sinead. So what impact did she have on your life?
Oh, she's had a massive impact on my life, Dave, if I'll be honest with you. I don't think you work like that with somebody without getting really close to them. You know, we'd be up all hours in the middle of the night texting random nonsense to each other, generally about winning streak in Supermax. There are other brands available. But
is the wheel fixed?
The wheel is fixed. The wheel is fixed and it's ready to go. But we used to have a bit of crack. I love her family and I've become quite close to them. And I'm like, are they ever going to adopt me? Like, what's the story? And she's like, well, if you get us a winning streak first, you know. So we became firm friends. So, you know, it was a horrendous loss for everybody who knew her and for myself included. And she's had a massive impact on me in that you just have to, as she says herself, just live the best life you possibly can. And I'm trying to remember that at all times. You know, life is short and you never know what's around the corner. So
indeed,
just got to have a good time.
Well, it has been on the player, but you can see it tonight on the telly. Sinead, listen, thanks a million. Sinead Kennedy, it is. Laura Brennan, This Is Me, that's what it's called. It's on RT1 tonight at 25 to 10, 9:35. Thanks a million, Sinead.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.